I always love to say gnashing of teeth. I probably don't want to be the one that's teeth's going to get gnashed on, but just kind of. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the parable, Jesus, this is the third parable he tells to these chief priests and everyone. He's in the temple in this teaching. He's come in on the donkey. He's turned the tables over in the temple. He's now in the temple teaching. He's told them two parables about vineyards and what happens to the guests, what happens to the workers when they don't pay homage to the one who is in charge of the vineyards. So we've heard this kind of weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who have been disobedient to God, who have been disloyal, who have not been faithful. And he comes to this third parable, and you have to be wondering, if you're there in the temple and you're a high priest, is he ever going to let up on us? Is he ever going to let up on us? But the parable is a little bit deeper than just about the high priest and how they are treating those who are God's chosen people. This is a parable that reminds us about the story of God and God's people and God's covenant relationship to God's people. If you remember back in the Old Testament, when Abraham was called out, he was Abram, and he was called out by God, and God began the covenant with Abraham and Sarah. I will be your God, and you will be my people. He made covenant with them three times over the course of their journey into the promised land. And he talked about how all the nations would come to understand God's chosen people. And we continue to hear that heritage of God and God's people and how God's people continually turn on the prophets who are reminding them that they have fallen away from God, that they've gotten caught up in the rapture of the community that they're living in. And so God's prophets would call them back into obedience with God, and some of the prophets even got killed. So God's been inviting these people, his people. God's been inviting his people into this banquet, into this kingdom that we keep talking about. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is for God's people. And God's people are way too busy with their earthly kingdom to want to even bother with what God's calling them into. So much so that they kill those messengers. But this is the wedding banquet for his son, Jesus Christ. So I want us to step away from this for just to take a deep breath. And remember, this is Matthew's gospel. Matthew's gospel was written after 70 AD, which means the temple had already been destroyed. So the people who are hearing this story, hearing this parable about the wedding banquet and being invited, and they hear that passage where he says the king was enraged, he sent his troops, destroyed these murderers, and burned their city. They've experienced the loss of their temple. They've experienced where God seems to have deserted them. They've also experienced the loss of Jesus, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these are people who are listening to this parable, recognizing it may not just be about God's people that we know as the Hebrews, that maybe it's about them too as followers of Jesus Christ, that they can get too caught up in their worldly, earthly kingdom and forget about the kingdom of heaven. And that we're all invited to this banquet. So there was an invitation. And they didn't have save the date back then. But, you know, I've gotten all those save the dates for weddings these days that go on my refrigerator. But we all know that God's kingdom will come to fulfillment at some point. There is a save the date. God knows the date, but we don't. And we're supposed to be prepared to go into that kingdom. The wedding was ready. How many of you have prepared one of those feasts, whether it's a wedding feast, a birthday feast, open house feast, whatever? Have you prepared a feast and had no one come? I have. I've had a no one come feast. In fact, I've had to eat the food for like a month or so. And I turned the salad into little lettuce ice cubes. But What else do you do with all the food that you prepare? So the king says, go out in the street. And this is the part I love. The slaves went out in the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. We're all invited to the feast. We're all invited to the banquet. We're all invited into the kingdom of God. Whether we are good or we think we're good, or whether we're bad or we think we're bad, we're still invited. There's still a place at the table for us. You're waiting for this next part, aren't you? About that one, the man who is not wearing the wedding robe. And you're wondering, what about that one? What about that one? So we move into that space of what about the one who didn't have the right clothes on? And yet, you know, the servants just came out into the streets and called everyone in. They didn't have backpacks. They didn't carry wedding garb in their backpacks. How would he know what to wear to this feast? And I think about all the times that we make those kind of judgments about what people are wearing, that outside appearance, that when they come to maybe worship, or maybe they come to some other event and we go, their mother let them out of the house dressed like that? Have you ever said that? Has it ever been said to you? That we look at the outer appearance and make a judgment. That's not what's happening here. It's not about his outward appearance. The king had all of these guests. How would he know there was someone not dressed right? Because they all came in from the street. They weren't all dressed for a wedding out in the street. It wasn't about the robe on his back. It was about how he was clothed as a person. We as followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to be clothed in Christ, are we not? We are supposed to be clothed in the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be having our heart and minds and lives focused on the one who invited us into this covenant relationship. God knows how our hearts are clothed. God knows how our minds are clothed. God knows how our spirits are clothed. Just as this king knew this guest's heart, mind, and spirit was not clothed for the kingdom. That his reason for being there was not about kingdom building. We don't know what his reason was, but it wasn't kingdom building. And Jesus ends the parable with, for many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation to the kingdom is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter what your present is. It doesn't matter to God, because God created you and called you fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe at this time in your life, that isn't right where you needed to be. Maybe you've fallen a bit. Maybe you've gotten a little bit over anxious. Maybe things just don't seem to be going right, and you think that the answer is in Facebook or possibly Twitter. Maybe TikTok. Maybe YouTube. Or maybe the grocery store, or maybe Walmart, you name it. You know, you pick where you're looking for help, you're looking for comfort, you're looking for peace, because the world is in chaos. There's only one place where we will find that peace. And that is in the right relationship with God. When we get clothed in Christ, then the things of the world that are coming at us. Remember, a few weeks back, we talked about that armor of light. When we are clothed in Christ, we are clothed in that armor of light, protecting us from the darkness of the world. We all receive the kingdom invitation. We don't need to save the date, because the date is now. It is now is the time that you say yes to the one who has called you and invited you. Or you find yourself somewhere out there weeping and gnashing your teeth. This week, you might meet someone who needs to know that God loves them, might need to know that there's this banquet that they're invited to. Make sure you offer a kingdom invitation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.